Voices, Washington. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're continuing our discussion about protecting grocery store workers and their customers. My guests are Mark Federici. He is the president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, Local Number 400, and Michelle Lee. She is a union member and Safeway employee in Alexandria, Virginia. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I also ask our callers to make your comments brief so that we can get as many calls in as we possibly can. Let's go to Aretha calling from D.C. Aretha, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, my daughter works at that Trader Joe's on 14th Street Northwest. And in the beginning, when the pandemic first broke, Trader Joe's didn't allow them to wear face masks for whatever reason. I don't know. This just didn't make sense to us. So now moving forward, here we are. One of the employees, tested positive. You can't tell the name of which coworker it was. So how do you know if you was in close proximity to this coworker? And my daughter lives with me. Now I'm an essential worker.
Go right ahead. Aretha, are you there? Oh, we lost her. Aretha, please try to give us a call back. But I think we did get the gist of your concerns. And to that point, Mr. Federici, what do you say to managers and to administrative workers or administrative managers for these grocery store chains about what's being done to make sure that workers are safe? I'm a little surprised to hear that they weren't allowed to wear masks. Mr. Federici? Do we have him? Did we lose Mr. Federici? Ms. Lee?
Yes.
Are you okay? You're still on. We'll try to get Mr. Federici back. But in your store, are you allowed to wear masks?
Yes, we're allowed to wear masks. And sometimes the store will provide masks for us, but a lot of times we run out. And when we run out, we have to bring our own mask, or a lot of my fellow coworkers are making masks or having friends of theirs to make masks for them. Also, some of the customers have been bringing us masks to help us out as well.
Mm-hmm. What is your job exactly at the grocery store?
I'm a cashier.
Say that again. I didn't quite hear you.
I'm a cashier.
So how can the groceries be safe when the customers are coming up and putting them on the conveyor belt? I've kind of wondered about that because customers are already touching, as Mr. Federici said in the example, he was talking about a can of peas or a cantaloupe, for example, and they're putting it on the conveyor belt. And of course, then you're touching it. What are you doing to make sure that, perhaps you are not infected by the items that are being purchased?
We also wear gloves, and I use hand sanitizer as well on my gloves between every customer. So I'll ring up a customer, and then I'll use hand sanitizer after I ring up that customer, and then I'll continue. But I keep my gloves on, and every hour and a half, I'll go wash my hands with soap and water and put on a clean pair of gloves. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not 100% proof, but most of us are doing that to try to eliminate the cross-contamination as much as possible.
Mr. Federici, we have you back on the line, I believe.
Yes.
Can you talk to me about what kind of conversations you've had with the grocery store managers, the top managers, over the course of this pandemic situation? What kinds of things are you batting back and forth to make sure that workers are safe?
It's a great question. The conversations today are much different than the conversations 2 weeks ago.
What do you mean by that?
The woman Aretha calls and she talks about her daughter. And then she talks about how originally people weren't allowed to wear masks. And, you know, an original conversation with a number of employers we've had early on was, you know, why can't people wear masks? You're not giving them masks. So and they have to show up for work. They're essential. Why cannot they wear masks? And the original CDC guidelines around masks, which again is a great example of how different it is today, was that the mask was only to be used for somebody that was carrying the illness, and that the mask wasn't for anything other than if you were carrying the illness. So they wouldn't say this out loud, and I'm going to be honest, they didn't want to give the impression that they had ill employees by allowing them to wear masks. And so then after we had multiple conversations and made this point repeatedly, and then there was with many major employers, there was an acquiescence to reality that, you know what, thank God they're coming to work. Thank God they're showing up every day. Thank God they're putting themselves and their families in harm's way. If the least we can do is to let them wear a mask that makes them feel more comfortable, then God bless it. We should let them do that. And that was the original crisis, if you will, particularly in Washington, D.C. That was a huge part of the conversation. Now you fast forward till today, and everybody's being asked to wear a mask before they even go out of their house right now. Mm-hmm. Employers are wherever they can procure equipment, PPE equipment, again, which is something the first responder designation will greatly assist with the procurement of that protective equipment that everybody is more common now. So I say that as an illustration as to how the conversation has changed.
Interesting. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Davis calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. First of all, I'd just like to thank the frontline workers, the grocery store workers. Without them, we would not have no food. But there's something that I observe that is, you know, is eating me every day because I'm a nurse. And it's good to wear a mask, which is a great thing because this thing is everywhere, okay? But when you wear gloves, you have to be very, very careful. I see everybody in the grocery store wearing gloves, but people don't know how to use the gloves, you know, which in a way I don't blame them because that's not their job. This is new for everybody. But you see people putting on gloves, they're touching the carts, they're touching the items in the store, and they're using the same gloves to touch their phones, their cell phones, to text on their cell phones, and they're using the same gloves to touch their face.
Wow.
Which is so, so bad. That is what passes the infection from person, from yourself, from your gloves, to yourself. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And I think
that's such a
great point, Ms. Davis. And I've actually seen video illustrating that very same thing. So very briefly, because I have other calls and other points I need to get to, but you know, as a nurse, Ms. David, so what do you do to, you know, are the gloves helpful or not? Do you just have to pay more attention? Quickly, what do you suggest?
When you're dealing with patients, right? But when I'm going out there, I don't walk around with gloves because the first thing that they teach you when you go to nursing school, you don't walk around from patient to patient with gloves, or you don't walk around with gloves because that's a way of passing on infection from one person to another. You wash your hands, or you put a hand sanitizer on your hands. Once you put the hand sanitizer on your hands, that's it.
Interesting. Ms. Davis, thank you so much for your point. And just to piggyback on that, it just occurred to me that, you know, long before this, whenever I go to see my doctor for a checkup or whatever, when he comes into the room, he's not wearing gloves, but the first thing that he does is he does use hand sanitizer before even coming close to me. I mean, that's just kind of the practice. It's been that way for many years. And then when he's finished examining me, he washes his hands in the same way. So I think that's something that we certainly should look into. It may be difficult when you're talking about so many people. Perhaps do you, and Ms. Lee, maybe you can tell me as a cashier, are you using the hand sanitizer after every single customer, or how are you addressing that?
Sanitizer is, when you put the hand sanitizer, it stays on your hand for quite a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And any germs, believe you me, that gets on your hands, once you put that hand sanitizer real good on your hands, especially when you're not dealing with patients, you are just dealing with people. You put the hand sanitizer on.
Hello?
I think we may have lost.
Yes. So I try to use the hand sanitizer between each customer. So I still have the gloves on, and I will use the hand sanitizer to just clean my gloves between each customer. And every hour, hour and a half, I will take the gloves off, wash my hands with soap and water, and put on clean gloves. Also, we're not allowed to use our phone while we're working, so we wouldn't be touching our phones while we're working as well. Mm-hmm. And by having the mask on, that kind of reminds us not to touch our face. And so I don't think too many of us are touching our face because the mask is kind of reminding us to not to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Ms. Davis, for sharing with us, and I appreciate your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And I know that you are in Alexandria, but the Montgomery County Council is looking into requiring these essential workers, as well as customers, to wear masks as they come into the store. And there's also some consideration about limiting the number of customers in the store at any given time, which, you know, I think it's interesting, Mr. Federici, that we may, if that comes to pass in Montgomery County or even in any of the other municipalities in this area, we could see those same kinds of long lines as we saw at Costco's in Northeast Washington a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it you make a great point. You know, the number of customers in a store is of great concern. And, you know, we have to be smart about what we're doing. You know, I certainly applaud the Montgomery County Council for looking at these issues. I wish the employers are looking at these issues. Grocery companies are looking at these issues, but other governments are looking at these issues across the United States. There's been ordinances, legislations in places like Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Rhode Island, and counties like Kanawha County, West Virginia, which is where Charleston, West Virginia, is located, have taken that on. Again, it's all about what we see on the news. It's all about limiting our exposure to each other to limit the spread of the virus. And we all need to be We don't need to be smart about all of that, and certainly nobody wants to put anybody in undue risk. And certainly from a grocery worker standpoint, that is a vital issue with how many people that are in stores. You know, people, the feedback I get from talking to folks every day is they're anxious and they're nervous and they love their customers, but right now they're nervous about what's coming through that front door every day. And the limiting of the customers is unfortunately something that has to be looked at. There has been progress as different places around the country I've mentioned. Companies have taken upon themselves to do that, but more needs to be done on that issue.
I don't know whether or not you can address this issue, Mr. Federici, but one of the things that has been of concern for customers is the apparent short supply of cleaning products, wipes and hand sanitizers, and the kinds of things that people need in their homes to be safe, Lysol and the like. Do you have any insight on where the grocery store industry is with stepping up the production of these critical products?
No, honestly, I couldn't give any insight on that issue. I would say only in a commonsensical way that, you know, the traffic in grocery stores now is exponential. Mm-hmm. You can't go to the local restaurant to have your meals. You can't go to your favorite sports bar to watch the game and have a cold one and then have a snack. All our consuming is now done strictly through the grocery industry. And the structure of the grocery industry isn't structured that way, where it's the central focus of everything now. There's no other place for us to go. But to give any further insight into the supply chain, that's out of my bailiwick, if you will. Mm-hmm. But the structure of how we are in the United States we're not structured where everybody gets their sustenance from a grocery store. There's many, many different opportunities for people to be able to go out and eat. And now, as a result of the pandemic, the choices are very, very limited, and that has lent to the run on products. That I can tell you.
I want to talk a little bit in the last 10 minutes or so about what workers want customers to know, what they want them to do, what things are customers doing that concern you. And I'll start with you, Ms. Lee.
Yes.
What is it that customers are not doing that you really wish they would?
I would like for the customers to, if they cough or sneeze, to please cough in their elbow at least once or twice a day. A customer comes in the store and they cough in the air. So I know some people may have allergies or so forth, so I would like for them to cough in their elbow. Also, I would like them to please try to stand behind the plexiglass when they come in the store to shop so that we don't have face-to-face contact. And if they're sick, stay home. And please don't bring your children to the store. Come in, get the items that you need, and leave the store. Don't hang around the store. And also, just try to come to the store maybe once or twice a week, or once every other week if possible.
Mm-hmm. Which brings me to another point. During the beginning of this week, the White House Coronavirus Task Force spoke about this week and perhaps the next 2 weeks are going to quite possibly be the worst that we've seen in America, and that they were telling people as much as possible to stay away from the grocery stores. Mr. Federici, good idea or bad idea? What do you think about that?
Again, I think a good dose of common sense goes a long way. And you know, if you're asking my strict opinion, it's go once every 2 weeks or go once a week and make the most of it. You know, we have a long way to go. And I do believe we have a long way to go. And what, you know, and it's people like Michelle Lee who are really the heroes for us and for somebody like me and should be for her community for what she does on a daily basis. And what she does on the daily basis is she in no other time in her life has put her life on the line by simply just going to work and serving her employer and serving her customers and serving her community. It's folks like Michelle and many, many other thousands of people that work in grocery stores are the real heroes in this right now. And they deserve all the recognition and prayers and good energy that we can send them. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't worry about what we're doing today. I worry about what we didn't do 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when we didn't know as much. And we were being misled by the President of the United States, which I think we all know we were. And I pray to God that those mistakes aren't born into reality by people getting ill and people losing their lives. But God bless you, it's people like Michelle Lee that are the heroes, and there's thousands of them throughout the communities that we all live in. And there's an old saying in the labor movement about, you know, we just come to work here. We didn't come to die. And we're really very anxious for our folks that work in retail grocery. We're anxious for our folks that work in healthcare. We represent folks in healthcare. We're anxious for our folks that work in food production, in chicken plants and meat processing facilities that we represent. This is a workers' pandemic. And we're going to bear the brunt of the illness, and as a result of that, I don't think it's too much to ask, and I don't think it's too much to ask for this designation and request this designation of first responders, because Michelle and her coworkers, as sisters and brothers that are working, certainly are responding, and they're responding first. The greatest need of any human life is to be able to eat, is sustenance. And you know, it's people like Michelle who are the real heroes in all of this and deserve all the support we can give them right now.
When do you think you may have a chance to talk with D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser again about this first responders designation?
We make inquiries almost daily. Whether we make those inquiries through Local 400 and UFCW or through our community allies that we have or through our allies that are on the city council. There's great support on the city council right now for this designation. Again, you know, it's about the opportunity to have testing, the opportunity to have personal protection equipment, the testing. We know how important testing is. And we know how important it has been in other countries where they have been able to deal with the pandemic more successfully than we have in the United States. And that's been centered around the opportunity to have tests. Again, we have a great opportunity in the District of Columbia to where first responders are afforded the opportunity to do drive-up testing. Grocery employees should be able to do that for themselves and their families, but also for the communities that they serve. And we need to face down this problem, and we need to deal with what our new reality is here for a while. And we don't have a choice. And again, I can't emphasize enough my love and respect for Michelle and all her sisters and brothers that are working in the retail grocery industry, union and non-union alike. It's unbelievable what they're going through on a daily basis, and the amount of anxiety that they carry on, you know, again, on a shift by shift, customer by customer, transaction by transaction, case by case. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And but that is our reality, and we're asking for help.
Ms. Lee, you spoke about making sure that cashiers are safe, such as yourself. But what about the stock personnel? What would you recommend to customers as it relates to making sure that they are safe while they go about their jobs?
Yes, if a customer sees that someone is stocking the store, when you go down the aisle, just try to stay as far away from them as possible, or either go down a different aisle and come down that aisle when you don't see them working that aisle. So just try to, so they can get their job done and put the product up and have the items there for everybody. So just be cautious of them when they're working the aisle as well.
Mm-hmm. There have been reports that there will be additional hirings for grocery stores, not just around the D.C. area, but again, nationwide. And I'll ask you, Ms. Lee, is that a good thing, or is that going to cause some challenges, some unexpected challenges as new workers come in who are obviously looking for a paycheck?
I think for right now, we need to just keep the experienced workers there, because a lot of us are familiar with how the store is run and how to handle our customers. We have personal relationships with our customers, and a lot of them understand and they listen to us for the most part. So I think that they should just keep the workforce as it is. And I personally think that they should cut back the hours of operation of the store. And if they cut back the hours of operation, they wouldn't need any extra help as well.
Mm-hmm. I have about a minute or so. I'll let you have the final word, Mr. Federici. What is the message for customers? We've spoken a lot about the employees, but what's the message for customers to make the jobs of the workers in the grocery stores safer and better?
Thank you for the question. First of all, you know, we love our customers. We have a relationship with our customers. Our grocery store folks are the main reason why people, you know, shop in any one location. It's that they're, Michelle can give voice to this and has done it for months. They have a connection with their customers. They love their customers. They know when it's their customer's birthday. They know when it's a graduation. They know when somebody passes away, God forbid. What the message I would bring forward to our customers is to put yourself in that person's shoes and respect their personal space and respect the barriers that are up there now. Respect the fact that these folks have to go to work every single day, and they have families to go home to, and how much anxiety they carry over what they're bringing home to their families every day. Nobody wants to be responsible for anybody being ill. Nobody wants to be ill themselves. And so, you know, the message I would ask for our customers is first of all, thank you for shopping always, but please be respectful and be mindful of our new reality right now, and yeah, that everybody has to be looking out for everybody else, and by doing that, we need to respect the 6-foot rule and respect folks' personal space in regards to the new reality around the pandemic, and that they have somebody that they want to go home to, and they have husbands and wives and children and grandchildren that they are responsible for, and you know, they don't want to be carrying anything home to their families, and that's their biggest fear. That's yeah, the biggest fear I hear from folks every day. It really is.
Well, Mark Federici and Michelle Lee, I want to thank both of you for talking to us tonight. This is such a critical issue, and this really is, I agree, this is a workers' pandemic without a doubt. Again, please stay safe, both of you, And I'm sure we will definitely be in touch. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. God bless you, Michelle.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, April 8th.